Someday, the sun is going to shine. Someday, the sun is going to shine on us outside. Someday. That's how that happens. Someday. Hallelujah. So, anyways, I don't know about you. I've been talking with others as we come in this morning and woke up this morning and wondering what time of day it was. It's still dark outside. It's still dark outside. Anyway, welcome this morning. How are you?
Good. Good.
You know, I was at the hospital this last week. It's in the elevator. You know, I've got a captive audience right here. And the guy said, asked me, how are you? Well, I'm grateful. Look what he says. You know what I'm grateful to? This woman that was standing there. I like that. I don't think I'm going to take that. I don't want to do that. So you make a difference when you do that, when you say those things. Let's prepare our hearts and minds this morning for our best intent for Jesus. I invite you to stand in prayer. Blessing the Holy Trinity, one God whose name is majestic in all the earth, who rescues and heals in every time of trouble, and does all things well. Let us come before God seeking forgiveness in life and invite us to take a moment for our own self-examination and reflection at this time. Steadfast and loving God, have mercy on us. We confess to you all the ways we turn from you and harm one another. In your compassion, forgive our sins and heal our hurts. Bring forth from us a harvest of righteousness and fruits of gentleness and peace, the sheaves of wisdom and justice, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is a healing balm for your wounds. Rejoice! For God raises you up to a new life in Christ. Amen. We sing our opening hymn.
Saints and angels bow before you.
First reading comes from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 15 through 16 and 19 through 21. Now the Lord said to Elijah, "Go, turn on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and you shall anoint Elijah, son of Shaphat, of Abel Meholah as prophet in your place." So he set out from there and found Elijah, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the twelfth. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." Then Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" He returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen, and slaughtered them. Using the equipment from the oxen, he boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm for today is Psalm 16. Please respond by reading the bold print. "Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, 'You are my Lord, my good above all other.'
All my delight is in the God that are in the land, upon those who are noble among the people.
But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied.
I will not pour out drink offerings to such gods, never take their names on my lips.
O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night. My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body shall rest in hope.
For you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see the dead.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Second reading is Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 and verses 13 through 25. "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah, Lord and Savior, open now your saving word. Let it burn like fire within us, speak until our hearts are stirred. Hallelujah, Lord, we sing for the good news that you bring. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you. May be seated. Would you please pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we are grateful this day. Grateful for the opportunity to come together to worship and to sing your praise, to hear your word. Now may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, our Redeemer. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to be focusing on the Galatians text today as the preaching text. And the thing about always struck by those first words, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Do not become slaves again." You know, this week we'll be celebrating the 4th of July, where we focus on freedom, we focus on liberty, we focus on those things that have helped shape our country, our lives, the type of society we live in, and also the challenges of what that freedom brings. I want you to think for a moment what times of your life when you have thought about you have new discovered freedom. Now, I remember when I got my driver's license. How many remember when you got your driver's license? I know for me, that was a long time ago for me. You know, but I remember just the freedom. I was not dependent upon my parents driving me to places anymore. I could go out and I could drive down Main Street back and forth like we used to do in those days, and then park in a parking lot and hang out.
Anybody else here, you ever do stuff like that? A bit kind of drag mane, you know, that type of thing? Freedom of that. Also, there was actually a commercial on TV which reminded me of myself, too. It's a mother and a son who are driving to college. And they had them both thinking different types of things. The place that he was going to college was about 3 hours away or something like that. And mom was thinking, you know, that's not too far away. I can run down here and see him anytime I want to. And in his mind, he's sitting there going, it's 3 hours away. They can't come down whenever they want to. You know, it's that type of thing. I remember that myself, too. I went to college about 5 hours away from my home. And there was a sense of freedom there because I know that mom and dad would not come and see me. Not that they would anyway. They could not come and see me every weekend. They could not. And, of course, when you go off to college, you experience a whole new set of a sense of freedom. Right? For good or bad. Kind of what you do with it, right? It's what you do with it. Now, Paul's letter to the Galatians here, he's talking about being free. I want you just to turn to the Galatians text in your bulletin there that we have. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters, but only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Freedom. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, he talks about freedom. The gospel of Jesus Christ, with its message of God's grace and love, breaks the chains of the law and enables us to be free as children of God. Now, in today's text, Paul addresses the issues of what we are to do with our freedom. Paul's first words of advice to the Christians at Galatia is to stand firm. This freedom which was won by Jesus Christ on the cross, his death and resurrection, can be easily lost. It isn't that it's taken away from us, but rather we decide not to live in it. We decide not to live in its reality. We stand firm in our freedom by keeping our eyes focused on Jesus and what he has given us in his life, death, and resurrection. And what that does, it takes discipline and also practicing disciplines. And we're factually what we're doing, one of those right here today. We're coming together to worship. Worship is one of those disciplines. And perhaps in your own devotional life, you're reading the scripture, maybe you're reading a devotional each day. That's part of the discipline to practicing in order to grow. Or when we gather for coffee or other places out in the restaurants or whatever, we gather for fellowship. And whenever we reach out and use the gifts that we have in service, those are all disciplines of faith. All disciplines, actually, of freedom. Being spiritually free is like being physically free. We discipline ourselves by choosing carefully what we eat. And also, I'm going to hopefully start doing this again. Engaging in regular exercise, physical activity. I don't know. I have another sense of freedom here today, too. The boot is off. You can clap if you want to. I was very happy. I was very happy about that. The boot is off. However, it's not all totally healed, so I still need to be careful. But engaging in those things which make me physically and healthy, to enjoy that freedom that brings. We discipline ourselves to keep our eyes on Jesus. so that we can experience true freedom, that the freedom that only the grace and love of God can provide. Now, Paul tells those who are reading this or those who are listening to this to use their freedom for others. In other words, it's kind of like this saying, all right, we're free. We don't have to do anything. So what are you going to do? You're freed from something. You're freed from those things that bind us, that whole list of stuff in there and more. But what are you freed for? Now that you don't have to do anything, what are you going to do? That's really what we're talking about here. Now, Martin Luther, he wrote one of his treatises, one of his writings was called Freedom of the Christian. And he begins by stating its basic premise. He said that the Christian is Lord of all, subject to none. And the Christian is servant of all, subject to all. Do we need to pray? Let me read that again to you. The Christian is Lord of all, subject to none. The Christian is servant of all, subject to all. Freed from, freed for. You don't have to do anything, but what are you going to do? We no longer keep the letter of the law in order to satisfy God. Instead, we keep the spirit of the law in order to share the blessings that we receive. Blessings of grace and love. We turn the do you notice in the Ten Commandments that's always said in the negative, you shall not? We turn the negatives of the Ten Commandments into the positive. What that is, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The possibilities of using our freedom to love God and our neighbor are endless then. Endless. Paul continues his teaching of the Galatians by pointing out the fruits of the different lifestyle choices that are theirs. Because we can bear the fruit of self-indulgence and decadence and all those other things, or we can bear the fruit of the Spirit. And the path we choose and the life we live produces the fruit of our lives. In other words, whatever we feed will grow. The fruits of the Spirit. As we live in the love for others, the fruits of the Spirit grows in our lives and become part of who we are. Our focus then is on others and not on the fruit. Living free is allowing the Spirit to transform, to change, to mold our lives and produce the fruit that the Spirit, while we live in love of God and in service to others. You know, we've been given this precious gift of freedom. And Paul encourages us, and the Spirit invites us to use the freedom to the glory of God and in service to our neighbor. The very last line of our text today is, if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. May the Spirit of God guide our lives now and forever. Amen.
Jesus, I have promised to my master and my friend.
I invite you to stand as you're able as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Joining our voices with God's people around the world, let us offer our prayers for those in need. For all followers of Christ, for the Church and its ministers, and for the mission of the Gospel, that all may know the gifts of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. For the wilderness and deserts, for the rainforests and tundra, for the native lands and farmlands, and for all who tend the land, that God's mighty work be seen in all creation, let us pray. For those who govern in Canada and the United States, and for those responsible for peace among people and nations, and for those who strive for freedom, that all are guided by Christ's commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves, let us pray. For refugees in need of protection, for the homeless in need of shelter, for those who work in the summer's heat, and for those who suffer in mind, body, and spirit, especially today we remember Ron and Sue, Patty, Anne, Arla and Kathy, Janelle, Ernie, Lexan, Alvin and Gwen, Joanne, Kevin, Levi, Sean, Chelsea, Libby, Joel, Janet, Leo, Sam. We lift up our companion congregation in Malawi, the Balaka Parish, Abusa, their pastor, Francis. Be with those who travel there, including our own Sharon. Give them safety in their journey, and may your Spirit help them grow in faith towards you and love to our neighbors in Malawi. We pray for all those who serve in our military and their families, and all our members and friends who are in care facilities or who are confined to their homes. Let us pray. For those who travel this summer, for those celebrating significant events in their lives, and for this community of faith, that the love of Christ be present in our joy and pleasure. Let us pray. As we enter this week, as we think of life of our country, freedoms that we enjoy, help us to remember those who do not share in those freedoms. We pray that you will be with those who are refugees, those children who are seeking better lives. Help us to always respond to love our neighbor. Hear us, let us pray. In thanksgiving for those who now rest in the hope of the resurrection, that with them we receive assurance that God does not abandon us in any time or place, let us pray. Merciful God, you hear the prayers of your people even before they're spoken. We commend those and all our prayers to you, trusting in your abundant mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let's share that with one another. receive our morning offering at this time. Church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We remember that in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. Giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It's given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And then again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. It's shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our Lord Jesus, the host of this meal, the one who comes to us and gifts of grace, I invite you to come.
Stand as read. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in His grace and His peace. Amen. We give you thanks, O God, that you welcome us to your table and satisfy our deepest hunger and thirst. By your gifts of word and holy meal, strengthen us to take up the cross as we go about our callings in this world, following after Jesus Christ, our servant Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our sending song.